Well, bless the Lord. I'm glad to be here this morning. I've already talked a little bit to you, but I want to share something with you. Even before we left Guatemala, the seeds of this message had already been planted. They were beginning to grow. They were small shoots. I could see it. It was developing in my heart that I wanted to share with this congregation. We do get a chance to preach and teach along the way. We've already been out 6 weeks from the country of Guatemala in the United States. But this message is for you. This message is specifically for this congregation. I've carried it out of Guatemala in my heart, and I've brought it to Southeast Arizona, Sierra Vista. This is for you. You ready to come along with me? I had to give it a little name, and it's called the Things You Learn Along the Way. You know, and there's two questions that came into my mind as I began to allow this to grow and to come into focus. And those questions were, you know, are the things that you're learning, are you taking those things in? And then another question came up. Do people see the things that you have learned? Do they see it in you, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you behave? Now, there's a yes to those, both of those questions there. You know, you're on a path called life, and everybody walks along. So I'd like you to come along with me, and I want to share an early memory from our missionary story, Chuck and Robin Martinez. Because, you know, something I didn't emphasize that I really wanted to is, you know, we're Shiloh raised and we're Shiloh sent. We came right from this congregation. We came from the fertile ground that Shiloh is as a church family and a community that allowed us to grow. Sometimes they had to kind of kick us along. But we were able to grow and realize the potential and the vision that we didn't even know was within us, but others did. And for that, I thank you. I thank this house called Shiloh. So come along. This really happened now. This is why I wanted to use it, because it's easy to talk about, because this isn't something in the third person. This is a first-person account. You know, as we go along this adventure here, you're going to learn something about Chuck and Robin, us. You're going to learn something, hopefully, about yourselves. And we're also going to look at how God's Word applies to all of it. So, if you will, pull on your boots, your favorite hiker shoes, lace them up nice and tight. Come on with them. It's going to be hot where we're going, so I brought a towel to towel off when I need to. So, go ahead and get limbered up, and let's get started. Next slide, please. I know those folks. Once upon a time, there was a young and inexperienced missionary couple. You know, we were trying to serve at least, way back in the jungly rainforest of Belize many, many years ago. You know, we were eager to serve in really any way that we could. But as missionaries go, we didn't know very much. We had all of the heart, all of the eagerness, but we really didn't have experience. All we knew was just we wanted to go. We knew we wanted to share the good news of Jesus Christ with whoever we got a hold of or whoever would listen to us. Now, when we're in this place, Robin had a focus. She spent most of her time in a little tiny jungle classroom in a little tiny room. And what she would do is she would teach numbers, letters, and basic reading skills to the young children. Any way we can. We're going to serve any way we can. Now, me, on the other hand, I'd help with, if you could call it that, with construction. See, I was mostly in charge of slowing down the construction project, and I was pretty good at it. But on the other hand, I did a pretty fair job at keeping up the antennas and shortwave gear, which happened to be my specialty, communication electronics. Now, this little village that we were in, some of you in here have actually walked in that village. I can see you. I know you've been there, so you know what I'm talking about. Now, by today's standards, that little village would be considered pretty backward. You know, there was no electricity, no phone. The only communication was shortwave radio. So it was pretty important to keep those items in tip-top working order, as I said, my specialty. We learned other things. We learned to clean and bind wounds, first on ourselves. Now, we were kind of clumsy in those days. And then on others. And this way we could attend to their medical needs. It wasn't a skill that we had before we got there. It was a skill that we learned out of necessity for ourselves, the people in the village, and people in a nearby village. We also learned how to get around in a small boat. And if you've never done it, it's not the easiest thing to do, especially if you have no idea how a boat is supposed to navigate. But once we did, once we had this skill, we began to visit people up and down the river. You know, sometimes we just share a meal. Sometimes we bring food and clothing. But whatever we were doing, we would share stories of Jesus. We would bring up salvation through belief in the Son of God who died for our sins. Jesus Christ, and he died for our sins. Every family we visited. You know, we were, in fact, very eager and full of good ideas. Our imaginations would paint these very intricate pictures, mostly incorrect pictures, of what missionary life was actually like. Let's go to the next slide. You know, the work was hard. It was very different than what we were used to. But the Lord showed us something new every day that either built us or built others around us up. That's what missionary life is like. You got to be willing to receive. You got to be willing to take it into yourself. You got to, and once you do, can people see what you now are? Some things were harder than others to learn. I learned how to keep a little motorboat in working order. Didn't know that before I got there. And when you live on a river, you know, that's kind of a critical thing to have. You know, transportation, that was the means of our transportation, was to get up and down the river. So for the routine, it was necessary, and for the unforeseen, it was necessary. We also learned that it was best to take that little motor, that little outboard motor, off the boat at night and put it in where we stayed so that nobody would walk off of it. So there's a little something that you wouldn't think of. Make sure it was safe. We learned practical things living in the jungle or this part of the jungle. I bet if we had 10 coconuts up here and got 10 volunteers, that maybe one, possibly two, might be able to actually get inside of it. I mean, not the supermarket coconut that's already got the brown hard shell exposed, but with a husk exposed. Okay, we learned how to actually open these things up and receive of that refreshing milk. We learned how to pick pineapples, not the hard and sour ones, but the rich, juicy ones, you know. And it doesn't really mean much to you unless you're thirsty or hungry. So it was important to learn these new things. We also learned pretty quickly to do one other thing. Something you never think to do here in the United States, unless you live in Southeast Arizona, that's to check your shoes for tarantula and scorpion. Yeah. So you guys, everybody in this room is agreeing with me, so you're already missionaries certified for the jungles of Belize. The plane will be leaving right after this service, too. You know, one of the other things I would do is, just like this picture shows, I'd make repairs to the dock. And this was one of the first projects that they would allow me to do. So, and I'm sure they were thinking that, well, he can't get into too much trouble doing this. And it seemed like I would have to do it or redo it every week. You know, at night, the level of the river would rise. If there was any loose planks in the, you know, in the boathouse, you know, they would rise up and float away, and you'd have to spend time the next day either looking or creating another one. But it didn't take me too long before I realized, I needed more skill to actually leave the boathouse in a condition that it'll survive overnight. Let's go to the next slide. Well, this is where it's going to get hot. I hope you, if you have a fan, go ahead and begin to fan yourself. Maybe even, you know, your Bible or possibly the bulletin. The day finally came that I was waiting for. And I've been dreaming about this day. I've been doing anything that they would put in front of me, any job. I was, I can do it. I'll do it, whether I did it bad or whether I did it good. They finally asked me to join the men of the village on an important project. Oh, I was overjoyed. It was a dream come true. It was an important project. It was men's stuff, not this fixing the dock and sweeping out the outhouse. You know, I was still new to the jungle, and the job happened to be deep into the forest, the mysterious forest. As soon as I got the news, I almost couldn't breathe. I was so excited about it. I ran to our little hut, little piece of the house that we were living in. You know what? And I searched through all my stuff, and I found it. I found my machete. Man, it was brand new. Gleaming, not a nick or scratch. The labels were still on it. The price tag was still tied to the handle. And I thought, man, I'm going to use this. I'm going to finally get a chance to use this. You know, the next morning, we met, got into the back of a truck, started driving. Roads are bad. Ruts, narrow, muddy, slidey. Fallen trees, everything you'd think of. After we ran out of road, we got out and started walking the trails. Slippery, muddy, up and down. There we went, keeping right up. Then the trail ended, and it was a totally different environment began. There in front of us was the high bush that leads to the jungle. Now, first it was thin. You could kind of see your way through it for some distance. But you know, as we moved on, it quickly became thick. The men who were experienced in the jungle began cutting a path. I mean, it was a ballet how they were used. They would swipe and the foliage and the jungle would fall at their feet, and they would continue to move forward, cutting a path, just like they had been doing it since they were born. I never got a chance to get my machete out of the little hole, but I wanted to, but I was having problems. I couldn't keep up. I couldn't keep up with the other men. The further we got into the jungle, the ground was muddier and kind of sinky, so every step I took was like I would kind of get stuck. And I would lag behind, and the deeper and deeper we got into the jungle, the deeper my footfalls would get in that sticky mud that kind of sucks you in, you know. And you know, so they would have to stop and come and get me, you know, help dig my shoe out, you know. So about the third time that this happened, one of the men came up to me and says, look, one of the experienced men, he says, you really need to be walking on the roots. You really need to be walking on the leaves and the foliages and the bushes. So all of a sudden the light came on. It was like, ta-da, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you know what? I started doing that. It was like, oh, look at that. I can move through the jungle, no problem, just as easily as those men who lived there. So I was getting a level of comfort in my surroundings. But there's more to overcome. You know, in my mind, when I saw those men begin to attack the jungle, I wanted to swing my machete so bad. I'd seen it hundreds of times in movies. I wanted to take a swath of jungle out and have it fall at my feet and continue to move on. It's a little bit different than the movies, as I found out. One, I had to learn how to walk in the jungle to begin with. It was a difficult time. That soft ground, I'd get stuck, you know, people would have to pull me out, and it was that experience of others that they lent to me that enabled me to keep pace. Let's go to the next slide. You know, the work is about to begin, so a third question came to my mind. Am I really ready for the work? And in my mind, the answer was yes. In reality, the answer was no. And let's see. Let's see what happens. This really happened. I'm not making this up. I walked this path, and these are things that happened to me. It took us 2 hours total to get to the place where we met two Christian brothers from the village, and at the starting point for this project, macho hombre stuff, male man stuff that we were going to do. 2 hours, arduous going, tough going. And they probably would have gotten there in a lot less time had I not been along for the ride. So what we were going to do is just cut some lines in the jungle. We were just going to cut some of the foliage back so that you had line of sight from one point to the next for the purpose of making some survey lines. And those lines were simply going to mark where we would harvest or where timber would be harvested from this rainforest and where it would not. That's all we were doing. And I was glad to be part of it. Not every tree had to come down, just the ones that allowed that, you know. So out come the machetes, and it was the most beautiful sound that I'd ever heard. Those machetes coming out, cutting the air, and then those men went to work masterfully cutting back the jungle, taking large trees that were standing, and with powerful swings, large pieces of wood would come out until that tree was felled, until it fell over. And then it would stride to the next one and begin work again. You know, eventually, with puppy dog eyes, looking for somebody to give me some approval, they did assign me a couple of small to medium trees to work with. Man, that was all that I needed. Those small to medium, that was like the Empire State Building to me. Man, I couldn't grab that machete fast enough, got it in my hand, sized that little tree was probably no bigger than this, you know, sized it up, raised my arms above my head, stepped in, and I hit this little tree with every bit of strength that I had. Nothing happened. Barely made a mark. I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again until I could feel that I was losing the strength in my arm even to wield this machete that I had dreamed about doing so far. And there stood that little tree mocking me. Well, this went on for some time, and one of the men came up to me, and he gives me a bit of wisdom. He says, you know, it's not really the strength of your arm that's making the cut. It's the speed of the blade. And he just explained that at the bottom of your swing, you got to get some wrist in there. You got to have a flick of the wrist to get that velocity. And you know what? I started doing that. I started practicing that. And lo and behold, I was able to do just what the other men were doing, where I was sadly failing before. Deep cuts I was making. I might even add that they might have been masterful cuts. Yeah, me and my machete, we're doing some work now, boy. I'm starting to get macho. Once I understood this key, the work became much easier. Now I could move around in the jungle. Now I could take on, as a matter of fact, they encouraged me. They said, hey, you know, they were seeing something in me, a skill beginning to bud and build, and then they encouraged me to, you know, once you go ahead and take that bigger tree there, that next bigger one. And I was enjoying the process. Let's go to the next slide. Later on in the day, we found ourselves at the end of the first line, and I was watching the other men. I wanted to be at ease in my surroundings. So I was doing my best to look cool. You know, I mean, how do you look cool in the jungle? You know, hands in pocket, arms full. But I was watching the other men, you know, they had their machete on their shoulder. I was trying to do the same. I was trying my best to look cool. Take all the things in. You know, I wanted to be part of the crew. I wanted to be working. eating, surviving. That's real man stuff, isn't it? I wanted to be part of that. But finally, it was time for our first meal. And that first meal was a great surprise because it was my absolute favorite. It was beans and tortillas. I love that. And that's what we had. That's what we had. We had beans and tortillas three times a day without fail. But it was about the fifth day that I kind of lost my taste for them. And, you know, all I wanted to do was learn how to make these shelters that you see in these pictures here. I wanted to know which leaves to strip the middle out of to make the binding cords, to make it good and strong. So, you know, I would watch, I would listen. But, you know, nighttime was the worst experience for me, of the many experiences I had there, that is. See, because after the sun goes down, those of you who don't know that in the deep, high bush in the jungle, man, it's absolutely dark. There's no light there. There's a lot of sound, but not a lot of light. You know, I felt somehow safer with this little gas lantern, you know, that those kinds of used to pump up and they go, they make that noise, you know. So that's what I had. But, you know, there was nobody around me. But what I did find is that all these bugs started coming to me. They'd land on my head, you know, those kind of the gangly legs out in front and then the eyes that are on the... All of these things, you know, they were coming right to me. We know one of the experienced men, he walked out. He says, they called me Hermano Carlos, brother Chuck. He says, you know, if you would stay in the shadows or in the dark, then the insects won't find you. They'll just go on by. So I learned something. I learned a key. Well, you're just going to have to learn to stand in the dark if you don't want all those bugs crawling all over you. And no sooner did I turn it out, that's exactly what happened. They no longer cared about me. They were looking for someplace else to perch. Another key. Some more experience that was given. Let's go to the next slide. You know, this is called Mission Completed. It had been long days. Long sections of jungle now laid at our feet. A clear path was now visible from point A to point B to our objective. And all it took was learning a few keys that unlocked success. I found after a few days I could move pretty easy in the jungle. Little effort, I could accomplish more work because I was learning the secrets of the tools that were at hand. I was still burned out on beans and tortillas, but that's another story. I learned to choose the correct vines and those broad-faced leaves that made those good cords to make those shelters as we move further and further up the line. And you know what? The other men began to recognize the growth in my skills. So more responsibility was being assigned to me. Oh, I was feeling good. Then one day, I realized something. I realized this. I was useful. All of a sudden, I realized I was something now that I was not before. But even so, I want to share this with you. But even so, there are higher successes than that. Even though I went into this failing miserably, but coming out on the other side, a pretty decent guy that could kind of at least not hurt himself in the jungle, or hurt himself or others in the jungle. And I was able to accomplish something, but there's an even greater success when God's wisdom is received, understood, and obeyed. That's where the greater successes come from. You know, the wisdom of man will tell you many things, and some helpful things, as illustrated in my little jungle story. Really happened just that way. That's what I was feeling. But when you consider the great wisdom in God's Word and what you're missing if you're not in it regularly, what you're meant, the path that you choose, if it is not backed up by God's word, you're going to be like me in the mud, not knowing to step on the vines, not knowing to step on the leaves. It's going to be much harder going. So let's look for the understanding in God's word. Next slide, please. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. I'm going to read a passage, first verse 14 through 16. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him. That's Jesus. A man came to Jesus. Kneeling down to him and saying, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. Kind of like me in the jungle. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Verse 16. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. You know, the Bible's telling us, beginning to tell us a story about a boy that's possessed. You know, the disciples, try as they might, were doing what they thought was right. Their efforts in faith may have even worked under different circumstances. But not here, not now, and not in front of this crowd, this multitude. They were missing something. Next slide. Then that should be the Matthew 17, 17 through 17 and 18. So if we can go back just one slide. Which says, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You know, like in Belize, I was eager, but at the same time, I was a burden. More than once, I could sense that there was a little bit of frustration as the work, the progress of the work either slowed down or halted because of me. You know, Jesus registered a light rebuke in those two verses 17 and 18 to his disciples, but then says, bring the boy. And this is what happens. Verse 19, and we're looking at it, okay. You know, there must have been some head-scratching by the disciples, kind of like me with my first hits on this tree that wouldn't yield to me. Worked before. They were probably thinking to themselves, why not now? What happened? You know, they were missing a vital key. But this is a spiritual point, a concept that I want to emphasize right here. Notice what they did. Watch this. They didn't give up. Instead, what did they do? They persisted. They pressed in. And they went looking for their answer. Well, how did they do that? Well, let's keep reading. They went right to Jesus. And I said, why can't we cast? Why can we not cast it out? The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why can we not cast it out? They wanted to know. They wanted to know why they were failing. Now, I'm going to suggest that there's a few, and I know I've been in this place where I don't take the extra step. It doesn't look like I'm going to make it, so I said, well, I better back off of that. I don't want to fail. But then there's been other times in my life when I said, well, you know, I don't care. God said, and I'm going to move forward with it, even though I don't see where I'm going to put my next foot down. So I submit to you, what's the better strategy here? Why don't we just believe God and keep moving? And that's what the disciples did. You know, they asked Jesus, why couldn't we? But I'm here to tell you today that the answer to theirs and your questions can and will be found by pressing in, by searching and studying God's Word. So I want to encourage you right now, if you're not doing that daily, begin. Just a couple of verses. There's plenty of guides out there off of the internet. Say, hey, 10, 15 minutes of Bible reading. That's where the success comes from. That's where the keys to life are. You know, you might also find your answers here at the altar. You may find your answers on your knees in prayer. All you got to do is open your heart, open your spirit, open your mind. Allow God to pour into you the things that you need. Verse 20 and 21, that should be the last one. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's read along. If you're following, I'm going to read it out loud. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that's pretty small, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If you're facing immovable mountains in your life, the Word of God has inspiration for you. If you exercise the faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing, no financial obstacle, no relationship-based obstacle, no way your life could possibly unravel and things be so dark that you cannot command them to move from where they are parked on your shoulders away, cast away. That's the power of knowing God's Word. You know, as missionaries, we face that all the time. There's a real spiritual battle that takes place every day. Not every day is a holiday and every meal a feast. There are times when the enemy comes after us. There are times when the enemy wants to get between me and my wife for 30 years. There are times when the enemy wants to come between our child, our grandchild, my son-in-law, all of these things. And I know that we're not the only ones that the devil is after. But when we speak in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and command those mountains out of our lives, we go. You'll be chopping down trees with ease. You'll be moving through the jungle floor as though it's nothing to you. I encourage you to do these things. You know, verse 20 and 21, there's also some interesting concepts I want to point out here just briefly as we're moving on. You know, your answer may very well come after a sharp rebuke. Kind of like what we're reading here. Oh, because of your unbelief. Those are hard words, especially who they're coming from. But I guarantee you that the answers will come. We've seen it happen. We have lived it. Lord, we don't know where we're getting the finances for this next project, but you know what? From directions unknown, they come. Sometimes on the mission field, we'll receive a gift from somebody, and we're dumbfounded. Not because we got a gift, but because we don't know what to do with it. Sometimes it comes before the direction of what to do with it is. So I would encourage you, when that happens to you, when something drops into your life, I wouldn't go right out and spend it. I'd make sure that you know what God wants you to spend it on. And that goes with your time, your concentration, your focus. You can have pursuits that you love, like me and my machete. I love that machete. But is that what God wants you to put your time and energy? That's a rhetorical question. Nobody has to answer. But the answer will come. And you know the disciples? Verse 21. They got their answer. There it is. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Another key. All of a sudden they realized, oh, I'm useful again. You want to know what real wisdom, where real wisdom comes from? That comes from the heart of God. And the scriptures tell us that the only way to the Father is through the Son. That's believing on the name of Jesus Christ. That's living. That's trading the world for something smarter, higher, all-knowing, almighty than yourself or the wisdom of men. And that's Jesus Christ, and that he died for your sins. If you've never made a commitment to believe in the name of Jesus, I want to tell you now is his time. This is what I carried for you today to Southeast Arizona. This is what I came to tell you. This is your day. I want to share a small piece of my testimony. And I told you, we came right from this congregation. When this congregation used to worship out of 200 North Avenue, after we were members for about 5 years, there was a preacher, there was an altar call. I'd been suffering for years with lower back pain, debilitating lower back pain. And one day, a preacher talked about the power of God, receiving a touch from God, a movement of the Holy Spirit that will touch your physical body. And I could feel it. My faith was there. It was simmering right at the edge of the pot. But you know, I couldn't bring myself to come out of that chair. I couldn't bring myself to stand up and come and get what was waiting for me. You know, God is faithful. It's been 20 years. And the pain in my lower back, little by little, it began to be healed. But I'm here to tell you, I am sure that if I had gotten out of the seat that day and come forward, I'd have walked away pain-free. That really happened. I stand before you able to work on a mission field of Guatemala for 11 years, and I am pain-free. I don't take medications. I simply give the glory to God that I can get up and walk and move and have my being in Him. And I tell you, the same is possible. So I'm going to ask you something. First off, if you've never made a commitment to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you've never said it in your mind, or come, if you're coming, there's a come. If you've never said it in your mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He came and He died for your sins and then believed it, the Bible says if you do that, you will be saved. And all the benefits of kingdom membership become yours. Become active in your life. All you have to do is reach out. All you have to do is stand up and come and get them. So if you need Jesus, if your faith is right at the top of the pot, come. Come now. If your faith is at that boiling point, come. You want me to walk with you? I'll walk with you. You want me to kneel with you? I'll kneel with you. But come. Don't let this day, this time, this moment. If you want to come, come. Let's go find Jesus. Let's make a difference. There's going to be a marked difference in your life. Come. The hour is late. The time is short. We are here for a season, for a time such as this. Don't wait another minute. Don't wait another minute. Let it be today. Let it be today that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let it be today and right now that you rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. There's some other things I want to share with you. Let me get back up here. There's restoration and healing waiting for you. If you know Jesus Christ, if you're walking a Christian life, but I can tell you that on that path called life, there's moments when things aren't so rosy. There's moments when circumstances are about to overtake you, crush you. Robin and I know what that is like individually. Robin and I know what that is like as a couple. If there's marriages here that are on their last leg that are brittle as a leaf in summertime, come. God can restore it. God can strengthen it. We haven't been 30 years married on our own. It's been because of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. If you're overwhelmed, come and receive your peace. If you know what it's like to be without peace, you'd pay gold to have it. Your peace is here. Your peace is here. Come and get it. Put it in your pockets. Drink it down. Breathe it in. Let it be poured out to fill you. If you are feeling alone, cut off, like nobody sees you, we've been there. I know what that's like. If you're disconnected, but you want to be connected, come. Come now. Right now. Let God's love be poured out into your heart. Over you, through you, around you. It's been a privilege to be here in front of you. I want the Holy Spirit to be poured into this house and everybody underneath it. I want the Spirit of the Lord to be in your hearts and in your homes, over your families, your businesses, your bank accounts. It is no greater privilege for us to come here and share the love of the Lord with you. God bless you in the name of Jesus.